and run a marathon now. Do I need the microphone? Do I need it? Do I need it for recording purposes?
No.
Do you guys hear me?
Yeah.
I have a big Italian mouth. And then with the anointing on top of that, it's pretty good. Amen?
Yeah,
okay. What I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about how Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there's a couple components to this teaching, but the first part of it is going to be testimony to the Lord's goodness in His love and His grace and His mercy through His healing virtue, okay? So I want to say a prayer, and I'm going to have my brother Chuck, which some of you know, I think a lot of you know Chuck, and he's going to share testimony about how the Lord radically set him free from a life of I like to share the testimony, but I'm going to pray, okay? So if you'll join me. So this is beautiful because we have charismatic Catholics here and we have Pentecostals here, and that's how it used to be. Okay? So God is doing it again. Amen? So there's a remnant of God's people in every denomination who are Spirit-filled, who love Jesus, right? The love of God in the unity of the Holy Spirit surpasses denominational barriers. And so I believe this little meeting here is going to spark something throughout North Central West Virginia. Amen? Okay? Because we love Jesus. One baptism, one Lord and one Father of all, one Spirit. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. All right? Father God, I thank you for every individual in this room. Father, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you, Father. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for new life, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the waters of baptism. We thank you for your abundance of grace that you continually pour out on us. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts open to receive the Word of God so that as it goes forth, it bears beautiful fruit for your kingdom, God. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're not far away, but that you're right here with us, you're within us, you're upon us, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray in the name of Jesus that every need here is met in the name of Jesus tonight for your glory, God. For we boast in nothing but Jesus. Holy Spirit, we consecrate this time to you. Thank you for your kingdom, God. And thank you, Lord, that your word says that you are pleased to give us your kingdom. And that the kingdom of God is within us. Unleash your kingdom here tonight, Lord. For your glory, God. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you, Father. Everybody says?
Amen.
So Chuck's going to share his testimony real quick. How's that sound?
Wow, I feel the anointing in here, man. This is awesome. You guys are awesome. From the moment you guys started praising and worshiping, like, I felt right at home. This is cool. So Sammy asked me to share my testimony with you guys. And I'll start by giving you guys some background about me. I was born and raised down in the eastern part of Kentucky, a little small Kentucky town. Grew up attending church at various Methodist, Baptist churches. I would have considered myself a Christian my entire life. Would have told you I believed what the Bible said front to back, there was just something missing from that, as in, like, I didn't have the power to live that out, what the Word said. So what I'm going to share with you guys is exactly what Sammy just shared, is how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He's moved in my life and completely broke every chain of bondage that I'd ever gotten into my entire life. And it was all just as a result of mistaken identity. Like, I would have told you I was a Christian and I didn't know what it meant to be saved. I didn't know what the finished work on the cross was, what Jesus did on the cross, and what that finished work gave me the power to be in Him, and Him in me. So, as a part of being separate from God through living a life of sin, there's a lot of my past that is pretty dark, and part of that is a drug addiction and all kinds of other stuff. And I don't focus too much on all that because I'm here to talk about what Jesus has done in my life. So when I speak of healing, I have a specific event to share with you guys, but I'm speaking from a place also of being delivered from a life of sin, a life of drug addiction, being reconciled to Father God through the finished work on the cross, through what Jesus did, and through learning, through sound teaching from people that taught me what being a son of God is about, and what receiving Jesus means in my life, what salvation, what truth. Because I had, and maybe some of you guys can relate to this, I had this understanding of Christianity as, like, I just would say a prayer, and that guaranteed me a right to go to heaven when I died. But I was to live out life on this earth, getting my butt kicked by the devil all the time, and I was always going to be a sinner, and you know, but God's grace covered all that. And, you know, praise God that I've learned, like, the truth, and the truth has been revealed to me. And part of that, like, well, not part of that, all of that is a result of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Like, that turned out to be the key factor that was missing from my entire Christian walk, my whole life. So flash forward, you know, growing up thinking, okay, I said a prayer to get to heaven, and I'm going to get my butt kicked by the devil for my whole life, and I get to go to heaven someday. It's all going to be worth it, right? And then life was kind of crappy all the way up to that point. Being a veteran, I was brought to Clarksburg, West Virginia to go through drug rehab, and I went through that like three times. And I became homeless through all this journey. And I found myself at the Clarksburg Mission in the veterans program that they have. I work there now. Today is the place where I work. And I met Sam. And he began to pour into me the truth from God's Word. And I began to see, you know, this truth that was being spoken to me through God's Word. And it totally contradicted everything I'd ever grown up, you know, thinking about being a Christian, like what being a Christian was. And the more I listened, the more I was like, you know, that sounds a lot better than the kind of Christianity I've been living my whole life. I think I'll try that. You know, why don't I just read the Bible and believe what it says and start to walk in that direction? And you know, and he would tell me, it's just simple as turning from darkness to light, you know, and moving that way and just receiving it. So completely set free from drug addiction, a life of sin that just was a horrible existence. The main point that I came to share with you guys, though, the testimony of God's healing power and how it's still very much at work today, was one of the leftovers from that old life was that I had contracted hepatitis C, it's a liver disease, from my past drug abuse. And being a veteran, you know, they take a lot of, I don't know if any of you guys are veterans, but they take a lot of blood at the VA hospital and they test it for all kinds of stuff. You know, so they told me, you know, Mr. Hall, your liver enzymes are bad. Like, you're going to either have to take this treatment that they have that can possibly cure you of this, or at some point your liver's going to fail unless you, you know, get on a transplant list and have a liver transplant and all that as I get older. So, you know, I'm faced with this liver disease and this past, and at the same time, like, the Word of God's telling me that I'm made new and I'm a new creation, you know, and at this point in time, like, the Holy Spirit's doing a work in my life and He's revealing the truth to me. So I found myself, I didn't know I was Pentecostal, guys, I had no clue that I was a Baptist kid, but I found myself invited to the church that I now belong to for a revival meeting, and this evangelist comes through, and he preached a week of revival meetings there, That was when I found myself fully Pentecostal after that week of experience. I had an encounter with God that changed everything about everything. And receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I didn't even know at that point in time I'd received a miraculous healing, a brand new liver during that time too. And, it, you know, sometimes I don't even, like, and I'm trying to question, I wonder if prior to that point I was even saved, like I had such a powerful encounter. But you know, who cares? I'm saved now. Praise God. So the VA hospital, they're taking all this blood and they're saying, oh, dude, your liver's bad. You might have to have a new liver, or you got to take all this medicine. There's this really expensive medicine they have now that supposedly cures hepatitis C. You see commercials all the time on TV about it and all these statistics about how many people have it and everything. Well, I wish they knew Jesus because so they mail me this stuff in the mail, and I kind of, you know, I open the package and there's the bottle of medicine and everything. And I'm like, you know, Lord, and this is all about during the time of that revival. And once again, I knew I'd had a powerful encounter with God, but I did not at this time understand that I'd received the healing. And but I remember just having like a not even a real conscious thought, but I now know it's the Lord. Like, so I set that medicine. I was like, oh, I'm gonna give you a chance. And I set that medicine on the counter at home and didn't take any of it. Well, I'm enjoying a new life. It's like I've been set free from that encounter with God. Like, so I'm just enjoying life from that point on. Like, and didn't even think much about it. So I get blessed with this opportunity with a job, and I had to take a physical for it. So I went to the VA to do that and draw blood. Which, you know, every time I go there, they're taking more blood, they're testing my blood. And so I get the job, and all this goes, and the blood work routine, all that stuff goes in. And it was around that time they were wanting to do a follow-up, because they thought, I didn't tell them I wasn't taking that medicine that was supposed to cure me of hepatitis C. I didn't tell them that part. When I was just getting, I thought it was routine for the physical, you know, for the job. And so about 2 weeks after the blood work, this nurse calls me one day and is like, Mr. Hall, you know, some good news for you. You know, it seems that that medication you've been taking for your hepatitis C is really working good, because we can't find a trace of hepatitis in the bloodstream. And that's what it hit me. My jaw hit the floor, probably. And I was like, ma'am, I don't know what to tell you, because Jesus healed me and the medicine's still sitting on my counter at home and open. And so I've just been wide open and crazy in love with Jesus and willing to share that testimony everywhere I go, anywhere I go, that, like, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still wants to heal. He still does everything that He did then. He wants to do that in everyone's life, in and through us. And that's my testimony.
I've been blessed to, I think we're past the discipleship stage, but like Chuck said, he came in off the, you know, like the streets, and God put him in my path, and I've been blessed to disciple him over the years, man, and just the fruit of God's goodness, you know, and it's just an amazing thing, you know. So we work with people that are drug addicted a lot, and we do see hepatitis C healed a lot. I'll share a couple testimonies. Once a month I go to the mission and I bring people from the treatment center. So these young people are raw. And I bring from the treatment center to serve breakfast at the mission. We go get McDonald's. McDonald's gives us a great deal on the discount or whatever. And so I'm preaching, and the word of knowledge came to me. What the word of knowledge is the Holy Spirit will bestow that gift upon us, you know, for His good and for His glory, and to bring people to Jesus. And the word of knowledge came to me, and the Holy Spirit said, tell anybody in here has a blood disease that you're healed in the name of Jesus. So I'm preaching to these street people. And so a week or so passes by, I get a text, and I put it on Facebook. I get a text. Some girl came in here looking for the little bald guy that was preaching. Her friend was in there listening to you preach, and when you claimed healing in the name of Jesus, he went and the hepatitis C was gone. So this little girl ends up falling on her face and giving her life to Jesus. She's actually serving the Lord now. So the testimony of the Lord's goodness healing that guy brought this young lady to Jesus, and she's like getting her children back, like in like a month period, like supernaturally delivered from drug addiction and all this stuff. So at the treatment center I work at, another healing of hepatitis C, and the nurses don't know what to do with me. I'm surprised I've not been fired. We have because Jesus is Lord, that's why. And these young people, Jesus is the answer. So God systematically chose people in the secular realm to bring people to Jesus. So we have a little Bible study, like maybe 5 or 7 people come, and if the anointing comes, Jesus comes in such a powerful, powerful, beautiful way. And some of these young people have never felt the Holy Spirit or experienced the Holy Spirit, so they do get freaked out. You have to explain to them, this is the Holy Spirit. That heat, that sensation, that tingling, that's the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus. He loves you, and He's here. So this young lady heard the testimony about the man at the mission being healed from hepatitis C. And she had hepatitis C. Now listen, this is a secular treatment center. God is so amazing. We are, so we have a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. Like he's there in like a glory cloud, literally like there was a fog and a mist. Like Jesus came in such a beautiful way. And I said, now listen, I was sitting down in a chair, and there was a young lady, and I didn't want to put my hand on her, literally, because there's her breast, and if the staff member looked in, you got to be wise in the situation. So I was sitting down in the chair, right? And I said, stand up, and you come here. I had another young lady, and I was going to pray over the young lady's hand and say, Father, the gifts that you've given me, the power of the Holy Spirit, please transfer it into her, so as she lays hands on her, she will be healed in the name of Jesus. And I said, Father, I thank you that when she touches her, the fire of God is going to burn out. And as soon as I said, Fire of the Holy Spirit, fire of God, something like that. And as soon as I said that, I looked up at the young lady with the hepatitis C, and her eyes are closed and she's crying. I said, honey, do you know where your liver is? She couldn't speak. She was trembling under the glory of God. She opened her eyes. She goes, my liver's on fire. My liver's on fire. You could feel the heat of the Holy Spirit coming off her liver. And I looked at this girl's eyes. This is no lie. This is not a lie. I don't even know if you can make something like this up. I looked at her eyes. You know how in Revelation Jesus has the eyes of fire? I looked at her eyes, and in her retina, it was burgundy, orange, and red. I said, honey, your eyes are, and everybody's freaking out. God, that, like, I've seen something like this before. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I said, go in the mirror and look at your eyes. And she came back, and like the Lord radically, she's healed of hepatitis C. So Jesus loves us, and he wants to do these things through us. I'm going to share a couple more testimonies, and we'll get into this. We've been going out and ministering to people at the mall. And Ryan and I started doing this a while ago. It's been a blessing. But like last week, Sunday, we've been working on the Muslims. I mean, just love them. And they're not used to Christians talking about Jesus to them. They need Jesus. Allah is not Jesus. Allah is not the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? They need Jesus, just like we need Jesus, right? We were once lost, and you're right, until we're really found. It's beautiful. So love, love, love. And they're like really, really shocked that Christians are sharing the love of Christ with them, right? And they're like loving us and opening up, and it's amazing. So I think you prayed for the guy first, right? Just loved on him. And then I'm going, and then we go back. And so we prayed for the guy, and his thumb gets healed. And like I could feel his thumb cracking underneath my hands. Jesus was reconstructing his thumb, right? And the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon him and said, do you feel that coming upon you, that healing? I said, your thumb's healed. He went, I said, Allah can't do that. He went, I said, Jesus is Lord and he loves you. And he wants to live inside of you. That's what freaked him out. Right? Because they didn't understand English real well. So as this is going on, our youth pastor is ministering to these, was it five young guys?
Four or five
young guys. And he's leading the leader to the Lord, right? If you lead the gang leader to the Lord, the rest of them will come. Yeah, top the head off. And so, I'm going to go over there. And I went over there, and then so three of them gave their life to the Lord, and then the word of knowledge came to me again. And Jesus said, two of those young men have bad backs, and one of their legs is longer than the other. I said, two of you have bad backs, lower backs, and one of your legs are longer than the other. Which one? That? Well, that's me. Third group freaked out. And I said, well, sit down. You're just going to grow your leg out. It's real simple. See, we have to get this. The Bible says these signs will follow those that believe. Okay? Not the evangelist, not the anointed priest, none of that. It says those who believe. And all that special, we do need that in church, don't get me wrong. But we're the ones that are mobile constantly in the public side, right? You know what I mean? They have specific offices. And their job, honestly, is to prepare us for the works of the ministry, the Bible says. So we have to be really careful who we're under spiritually. Because their job is to prepare us for the works of the ministry, right? That's amazing. So I said, Father, I thank you for the love of this young man. In the name of Jesus, right leg, I command you to grow. Boop! His back pain went away. Then the next kid with the lower back pain, he almost ran out of the power of God. I had to catch him. I almost got slain in the spirit in the middle of the mall. I had to catch him. So then there's this old Church of God guy limping. I had arthritis. Jesus radically touched him. So all this happened like a 20-minute period. Boom, 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 boom. And so I'm not sharing this to glorify in us or Chuck or me or anybody else here who has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that's the determining factor in a believer's life, is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire. Because Jesus told the apostles in Acts 1 through 4, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. So that is the determining factor for us to live out our calling that the Lord has for us. Whether it's positioned in our work, whether it is to be a priest or a deacon or an evangelist, that determining factor is to receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire. If not, we will be operating in our flesh and be continually frustrated in our Christian walk. This is not condemnation. This is the truth in love. The truth in love. But God desires to work through us as he worked through Jesus. This is not arrogance. The same anointing that came on Jesus Christ is the same anointing that's available to us. We have to remember, yes, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God, but he was our example of how to live like a human being under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Was he not our example? The Bible says that. He was our example. So that same anointing that came when he came out of the waters of baptism is the same anointing that the Lord wants to bestow on us to work within us and upon us and around us to bring the lost into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Amen? Amen. So there's a couple components of this talk here, and then we are going to pray, because you can't talk about God without demonstrating his power. That's not fair to people, okay? Because then you're left, what? He's probably gave God, because I know there's more, right? So, praise God. Jesus did and taught and did. Didn't taught and did, right? We're to be like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So, I am going to talk about Holy Communion. We'll talk about the Eucharist first. The reality that Jesus Christ, and I love the church that I go to because they don't believe in that communion's a symbol. We don't believe that. We don't believe in baptism as a symbol, right? And you guys know me as well. I was at daily mass today, and I'll be at Pentecostal church on Sunday. Guess what? It's okay. I haven't been excommunicated. Okay, so you know, I'm all getting on it. Praise Jesus. So, like this morning when I partook in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, I told Chuck, I got weak. I get weak because I believe that that's the body and blood of Jesus Christ. There's this gift of grace called divine health. I've not been to the doctor in years. I've not been sick in years. I'm not saying sickness doesn't try to come. But and part of that is, yes, the Spirit of God is within me. The Word of God rules my heart. But I also attribute that to partaking in the Eucharist. I believe that I'm taking Jesus. I believe that. So I'm going to teach on the importance of believing that. Mary Paul just said, we should say, I believe. Because amen does mean, so it be done. But most people don't know that's what that means. And I'm going to be honest with you, if we take that Eucharist, not believing, it could bring condemnation on ourselves, the Bible says. Many of you are sick because you're doing this unworthily, which means we don't really believe what's happening. Now, this is the truth of the Word of God. See, in 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, it talks about the liturgical assembly. It says in my Catholic Bible, the way that those things are supposed to be done in order by the leading of the Spirit of God. I don't take the Eucharist lightly. I don't. I would be someone that would probably chase somebody down the road if they ran out of the church with the elements. Yeah. And I'll share this real quick. I was doing tech about 4 or 5 years ago, and the Lord said, you need to commit yourself to the Eucharist. And I wept and cried, the Spirit of God came upon me, and I understand now why. If there's no light matter, the Spirit of God comes to live in those elements and burst them into Jesus Christ. And today when Father Casey said, let the power of the Holy Ghost come, Spirit come down, I was like, did he say power? Did he ever say that before? And like, I was ready to like jump out of my seat. You know what I mean? I'm like, guys, do you understand what just happened? You know, I want to scream out loud. But I know that we're all different in our reverence towards God. Yeah. So I'm going to teach about that. The power, that the reality of the broken body, the beaten body of Christ, and the shedding of his blood, that reality and the remembrance that's in the Eucharist. Okay? So this is going to be an encouraging talk in a lot of aspects, because I must believe that the Spirit of God makes those elements alive. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's provision in those elements, in the body and blood of Christ. Heaven is in those elements. The kingdom of God is in those elements. And I want us to believe that. Amen?
Amen.
And I know we want oil and everybody to believe that too, right? So if you do have your Bible, go to Isaiah 53. Everybody okay?
53.
Not only do I want you guys to get this in your spirit, that this is what Jesus accomplished on the cross, okay? And through his beating and being scourged and beaten beyond recognition, that all that happened, the finished work of the cross, like Chuck said, we were redeemed from the curse. The curse, the fall of man, we're redeemed from that. Right? Jesus Christ came to save that which was lost. What was lost was our right standing with God. So through that cross, all that filthy, rotten junk is destroyed when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. It's destroyed. It's destroyed. So not only that, but I also want to get us in, like, to get this scripture birthed in us when we're getting ready to receive communion. Because the reality of this, man, that Jesus, like, reconciled us back to the Father. Right? Okay? Amen?
Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. So, in verse 53:4, say amen if you're there.
Amen.
It says, yet it was our pain that he bore, our sufferings he endured. We thought of him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us, what's it say? Whole. By his wounds you were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, all following our own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Free from guilt, free from condemnation, free from sin, free from sickness, free from disease, made whole. That's what that says. Made whole. Well, we're talking here in a couple more scriptures about what that means to be made whole scripturally in the New Testament. Amen? So go to 1 Peter 2:24 real quick. Jesus bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin, we might, and might there in the Greek means have the ability. That's what that means. It doesn't mean might, maybe. It means we have the ability through Christ to live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, right? You know, especially as Catholics, we were baptized as infants. So, but there was a time in our life, and many of us, when we received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we committed our life to Jesus Christ. And when it came, we made that adult decision to believe in the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. He's our Lord of our lives, and we've received his baptism with the Holy Spirit from that point on, all this stuff literally applies to us because it's past tense. It was done on the cross of 2,000 years ago. So this was this divine help that I'm talking about comes in. This is not arrogance. This is where I am with the Lord. I don't have to have the faith to be healed. I am healed. I'm a son of God. So I'm growing in that. I don't need to grow my knowledge of healing and deliverance. I am those things through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Does that make sense? It's powerful, isn't it? It's a reality. It's beautiful. It's the Word of God. And it's spirit and life. Amen? Okay. Praise you, Jesus. So, let's go to, now we're going to talk about being able real quick. Okay? So if you would go to Romans 10. Spoken, I want you guys to be conscious of your new type of pain, because I believe after these scriptures are spoken, you'll be alleviated. If you're at a 7, it'll be at least a 2 or a 0. I believe that, because the Word of God, He sent the Word forth and He healed. Right? Speak to the mountain. Right? Don't weaken the mountain. Speak to the mountain and it will be removed. Okay? Have faith in God. Amen? Have faith in God. One real quick. I'm driving on the road, right? And there's this man and his little baby, 5-year-old, and this woman walking on the side of the road. What is it, Route 73? Is that what that is, Chuck? 73. What is going on here? So I said, dude, get in the car with your child. And guess what? How the Holy Spirit ordained this in heaven. I was driving my mother's car that has a booster seat for the 5-year-old. I didn't have a booster seat in my car. Heaven. The guy was drunk, covered in blood. You know, the cops didn't want to deal with him, so they just let him walk, basically, whatever. But Jesus sent me there, and I said, listen, God wanted you to be around a Christian in this time of need. So they took the baby to the safe place. I'm driving home. He's covered in blood, smells like booze, hot. And he gets out of the car and notices he's limping. And this is what Jesus wants us to do, guys. This is what He wants us to be. We can be so selfish sometimes and think, what if they don't get healed? What if I say the wrong words? It's Jesus. Even just pick them up and buy them a sandwich. No one else picked them up. How many Christians go buy them? You know what I'm saying? And he goes, I'm coming. I said, I don't care. And I prayed for him and hugged him with all that blood. And we have to die to ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We have to. Okay? We're the light and darkness. Amen?
Amen.
So they saw a Christian. Christian means Christ-like. It means nothing less. That's what it means. Amen?
Amen.
The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You know why they were doing the works of Christ? Yeah. Isn't it great? Acting after love. Okay. They were. Come on, Jesus.
Jesus loves you.
All right. So, I'm going to talk about salvation now. So, go back to Isaiah 53, the word whole, right? So I'm going to read this. In Romans 10, verse 9, is everybody there?
Yes.
All right, praise God. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. I'm going to stop right there with believe. Believe in Greek means to have full confidence and trust in. Full confidence and trust in. Man, it'd be nice if we go to the Bible and read sometimes. Full confidence and trust in. Okay? So let's get that established. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, so is saved. I know my heart hurts everybody who believes in Christ as the Lord and Savior. I know that. But how much? So, to have full confidence and trust in, right? Have full confidence and trust in Jesus. I love how the King James Bible, it writes in the gospel that if your whole eye, you know, our eyes are linked to the body, right? If your eye is single focused, it says, your whole body will be filled with light. single focus. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I don't focus on things below. I focus on Him who sits at the right hand of God, because I am dead and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Jesus, through the mercy and the power and the love of the Holy Spirit, wants to take us all to that point. Right? Amen? It's powerful. So there the word saved right here. Whole and saved mean the same thing. The word saved, and I think I taught this here before, a couple years ago with the Brazil, after the Brazil trip. Saved there, S-A-V-E-D. It was written in the Greek sozo, S-O-Z-O. Sozo. Right? Salvation, sozo, be made whole, be made well. You know, many times in the gospel, Jesus will say, your faith has saved you. Right? And in James 5, when it's talking about the anointing of the sick, it says that the pure faith will save the sick person. Right? So, being saved, there's forgiveness of sins, there's healing, there's deliverance, heaven. Heaven. Literal heaven. Right? It needs to be rescued. It means to heal the suffering one. It means to receive God's provision. That word saved means all those things. You understand what I'm saying? It means all that. Like Chuck said, Jesus saves. We see that all the time. It's not just saying a prayer to get to heaven and live life floundering out of water like a fish. It's literally to live as Jesus did, in wholeness, in wellness, in purity, in love. That's what that means. So when that Bible says in Isaiah 53, you're made whole, it means whole. It literally means whole. But we're not going to know it means whole unless we're taught that it means whole. Do you understand? I don't preach a watered-down gospel because that doesn't benefit anybody. Okay? It does aggravate a bunch of religious people for religiosity, but that's okay. they were aggravated with Jesus, were they not? So to be saved literally means, like it says in Colossians, that we were delivered out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. We are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, and then in Ephesians chapter 1 it says, we are the body, He is the head, we're one with Christ, high above every principality, dominion, power, and authority, and above every name that is named. We are there with Him now. It's a powerful picture. We haven't seen the Spirit for a while now. And like, we are the body of Jesus. Amen. The victors. The victors. We have victory over the world. The Bible says that we have power over the full force of the devil and nothing can harm us. The Bible says we continually walk in a triumphal procession and release the fragrant aroma of life. Like Mother Mary birthed Jesus, we're supposed to birth Jesus to everybody. Because He's in us. Amen?
Amen.
That's so powerful. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. So we'll establish that. We're establishing who we are in Christ. Who we are as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. And the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives within us who believe, who have full confidence and trust in Jesus Christ. The same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus has anointed us to do the works that He did. Right? In 1 John, it talks about we are to walk as Jesus walked. And if you look at that walk in the Greek, it means comprehensively walk by Jesus. That's what it means. And the reason why John got that revelation is simply that he lived 90 years longer than anybody else. So he walked with Jesus longer than anybody. So he got that revelation. He spent all that time with the Lord. They dipped the guy in boiling oil, and he didn't die because he knew He. Sozo, rescued, delivered, healed, set free. He was not of the world. He was seated with Christ in heavenly places, and He knew that. And here's the beauty. We have 2,000 years of Christianity plus the Bible that proves this. I love this. In the Catholic Church, the gifts of the Spirit never cease to exist. Ever. Throughout the history of the Church, never, ever, ever cease to exist. Ever. Catholics has always believed in tongues, healing, the gift of prophecy, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Catholics have always believed that. Always. We need not to forget who we are in Christ. Okay? It's a beautiful, beautiful, powerful thing. We'll establish who we are, sons and daughters of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He was begotten by God. We are begotten by God. I mean, we can't die for people's sins. I mean, he could do that. The perfect Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. So we are literally to walk as Jesus walked. By the Holy Spirit, the Father enables us to do that, to rescue people out of darkness and bring them to his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, a couple more scriptures, and then we'll pray. Sound good to you guys?
Yes.
So go to John 14. I'm a person who does not attempt to rationalize or comprehend. come up with a theology why people don't get healed when we pray for them. It doesn't change who Jesus is.
Amen. Amen.
So I don't even go there. There was a point in time I did and it was wrong. The Holy Spirit convicted me of it. Okay? Jesus, if Jesus walked in this room, wouldn't everybody get healed?
Yes.
That's what we're striving for. That's our goal. We don't change that. Okay? So I never ever try to come up with a theology, well, this person's full of sin, da 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 da. A Muslim got healed. He did believe in Jesus. Right? I prayed for a guy that outright hung me. This is beautiful. Another kid's liver got healed. Heroin addict. He's like, how come you don't believe in Jesus? He goes, well, I can't believe in something that I can't see or feel. I'm like, well, you've known me for years, man. You know that my life is progressively getting better and joy increases and everything just gets better. Like, that's Jesus. He goes, oh, yeah, you are full of joy. Your life's awesome. And I'm like, it's Jesus, man. The problems do happen. We have victory. You know what I'm saying? We keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. I said, can I have a prayer with you right now? You can feel the presence of God. I said, what? Yeah, dude. So, I'm like, come on, let's only pray over you. Okay. I'm like rejecting Jesus Christ. And he eventually came to the Lord about 3 months later. I prayed over him, the word came to me. You got shoulder problems? Yes. Jesus is healing your shoulders? Yes. Why is my liver twitching? You have liver problems from shooting up? Yeah. And Jesus is healing your liver. The fire of God went through his liver. Did not believe. Theologically, that's not, I know that's supposed to happen if you read certain books. Full of sin, full of unforgiveness. Only the love of God penetrating that boy is going to bring him to Jesus. Yes. Not all full of unforgiveness, full of sin. I was too. Jesus led me to drug house high on speed. You know what I mean? So theologically, none of that's supposed to happen. So I don't try to. God's love, mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? I just want to share that. So we don't go there. It doesn't change who Jesus is. Right? Our goal is to see everybody healed by the hand of God. And that's what we strive. Amen?
Amen.
Only by the hand of God.
Amen.
Okay? So here in Mark 16:15. And I like, this is another version of the Great Commission. I like this one better than Matthew. It's okay. You're allowed to have favorite scriptures, right? So 15. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
All right, so he, Jesus, said to them, go to the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Everyone. There's going to be people call you crazy. We got called crazy last night. And it's okay. It's going to happen. You're going to have people growl at you. You may even have a demon manifest. It's going to happen. It just absolutely is. Chuck and I saw it today in our office. Two people, just the anointing was too strong in our office, and they were. Yeah, especially when you were with people on the street. So it's just going to happen. Here's another thing to keep in mind. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Jesus. It should break our hearts. It has nothing to do with us. It's heartbreaking. But so the cool thing is they won't sleep that night because someone told them Jesus loves them. I'm living this horrible life, but Jesus still loves me. And so that won't leave them. You know the seed's planted, right? So he said to them, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Again, sozo, right? We just talked about that. Amen? Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany all those who believe, have some trust and confidence in. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Will recover. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Never leaves and confirm the word through accompanying signs. That's for us. He's talking to us. I feel the Holy Spirit right now very strongly. He's talking to us. Who here is experiencing any type of pain in the body right now? Be honest. We're going to pray. Okay. I want somebody who believes to touch that person. Touch those people. We are the body of Christ. No one is superior to anybody. Just repeat after me. Say, Father, I thank you for your love. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus
To die
on the cross, for us. Father, I thank you that Jesus destroyed pain, sickness, and disease
on that cross.
Father, I thank you
that
from the top
of their heads,
soles of their feet,
all pain,
is gone.
Now,
in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father,
for
this healing.
For this healing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.